Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello and welcome to Oldie But a Goodie. This is the podcast, the only podcast in the entire world of podcasts, where we're spending all of 2019 watching movies from 1994.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. I'm pretty sure, yeah. Only one in the world. Yeah.
That's doing this concept, probably. In English.
Let's just narrow that, just in case. There's like some, you know, European, like French podcasters. This is like, oh, brain scan. I love the brain scan. Sorry, old French people. That's a terrible accent.
The way it works is week in, week out, we are reviewing, watching, full synopsis, recap of films that came out in the same week that we are recording in. We've got a little bit off track, but we've caught up. Right now, we are officially caught up as of this episode, which is very good. We're back onto the weekly schedule, new episodes every Friday morning.
Yeah.
This film came out second last week of April? I guess it's like the middle week of April.
Yeah.
In 94, this film came out. Episode is getting recorded in the middle of April.
Yep. Cool.
That's how it all works. My name's Sandro. That's Zach.
It is me, Zachary.
No, don't do that.
Yeah.
We swap who chooses each episode, week in, week out. We have released three episodes back to back.
You chose this one.
I chose this one. We are releasing the latest three episodes pretty much back to back, though.
Yeah.
So if you haven't checked out our subscription feed in a while and you haven't heard the last two episodes,
right? Yeah.
Look, feel free to keep listening. But if you want, go back, have a listen to those, come back to this one.
Quickly go watch. Listen to those other episodes.
You can watch the films as well if you want.
That's true. Watch certainly the films an option as well. Anyway.
A lot of people have been asking why 1994, and I think we do keep forgetting to say it. It's because it was 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Every film
years,
that we
exactly.
review
exactly
turns
25 years ago.
Exactly 25 years ago.
So there you go.
This episode, we're doing a horror about a teen horror, I think is a good way to put it.
Yeah.
It's not an proper scary horror. It's just a horror for teens.
Yeah, it's a comedy.
It's a comedy. Like, it's, I don't know.
Yeah, it's more like thriller, horror.
Yeah.
Sort of. There is an aspect of comedy.
There is some. They try
it's
to
like
be
a,
funny.
It's not. Yeah, it's not like a very serious horror.
No, it doesn't take itself too seriously. It's like a sci-fi in parts as well.
Yeah.
It's called Brain Scan. I chose it. My other two options were this film called Chasers.
Yep.
Which is about the Navy, and they've got a beautiful prisoner on board, and they have to take her to some place.
Yeah, but that's some
and the shenanigans that they get up
and
to.
And then there was the cowboy movie,
Bad Girls,
which sounded like
it's got 2% Rotten Tomatoes.
Wait, that has 2% on Rotten Tomatoes?
I did some research in between the episodes, and 2% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
I'm glad we did not pick that one.
Wow.
Instead we did Brain Scan. Just up top, real quick, what were your quick thoughts?
Not what I expected. It took a left field real quick in the like, first is the intro and it's all like, all cool.
Yeah.
Then when the brain scan part jumped in, I was like, what the frick is happening with this movie?
It's a bit of a trip. It's a trip film.
Yeah, it is a trippy film.
I don't think it's a good film.
Yeah.
But, it's sort
it
of imaginative.
Enjoyable.
I guess
it's more,
so.
It's more enjoyable than a lot of other films we had.
Definitely.
I had fun with it. Probably wasn't a good movie.
No. It was released April 22nd. The tagline is called An Interactive Trip to Hell.
Whoa. Crazy.
It is directed by the late John Flynn, who passed away in 2007. Mm. He's best known for the thriller Rolling Thunder. He directed that, which I think has been on like TV a lot. It's one of it's one of those thriller sort of films. It stars a 16-year-old Edward Furlong. He is, of course, John Connor in Terminator 2.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I saw him before. Mm.
He was huge in the 90s.
Yeah, that's true. I thought I recognized him from somewhere. There you go. I haven't seen Terminator in ages.
It's been a while.
I need to rewatch it. Good stuff.
It's a good film. I also recently saw him in Pet Sematary 2, which came out in 92, I think it was. Because I was rewatching those two films before the new one.
Yeah, that's true. There you go.
Pet Sematary 2, real bad.
Oh, okay.
But also, kind of fun. It's a fun film.
Would you rate that an oldie but or a goodie?
No, definitely an oldie.
Right.
But to be fair, I'd give the first one an oldie as well. Okay, this film has 23% Rotten Tomatoes.
Woof.
This is a trend for horror films.
Yeah.
And the reviews for horror films, especially mainstream ones like your Nightmare on Elm Street, your Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
A lot of the reviews for the ones that aren't great.
Yep.
The reason why they usually get bad reviews is because, they're just a bit mean.
What?
Isn't it? It's just a mean film. Of course it is. It's about people killing each other.
Yeah, no, that's the whole point of the film. What do you mean? So it's like people didn't quite... Some people...
I don't know.
...didn't quite get the horror film genre in general. That makes sense. I feel like in the 90s and stuff, people were still getting used to... The whole horror film.
But all the classic horrors came out in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That's like kids and stuff who didn't review horror movies and stuff when they were kids, but grew up and remember it and be like, hey, those were pretty good. I enjoyed those.
And this film was pretty successful on the VHS and TV run with young people.
Oh, really?
That's good.
Well, there you go.
We don't know how much this film cost.
Okay.
What do you think the margin is?
15.
Yeah.
15-ish.
Because it's a pretty simple film where there are a lot of special effects.
And stuff. Yeah, maybe more than that. Like, maybe 17-ish.
17-ish? Okay. Yeah. What do you think it made?
2015. What it made? 10?
Nah.
9?
Nah.
5?
Nah.
2?
More than that.
3?
4 million. Yeah, nah, huge bomb.
Yikes.
No one went out and saw this.
Yikes.
And that's pretty much all the information I have on this. Because
there you go.
It's not a film that anyone remembers or cares about.
All right.
It's just this disposable horror film that came out in the 90s, and we're talking about it.
All right.
We watched it.
Then, let us just jump into it.
Why is that our tagline now? I don't like it. I really don't.
Because it's a meme.
It is a meme.
So, it starts off with... The classic 90s opening, which is just houses, apparently. We've done two films. Not the middle film, not the last.
Serial Mama. It opened up with a shot of a house.
Yeah, no, all three of the films we've just done now have opened with a scene with a house in the opening.
Okay, how did 90s. Jimmy Hollywood open?
We get it.
Jimmy Hollywood opened with them walking down the street. Doesn't count. Mighty Ducks flashbacks doesn't count.
Yeah.
But the three most recent ones.
Yeah, opened with a house.
How's that?
Crazy. Anyway.
It opens with a house and like someone's been rushed into a hospital is all that you see.
Yes, there's like flashbacks and stuff. There's like some jump cuts of like someone being rushed to hospital. Yeah. It's like all this sort of weird stuff. There's a dog. That has something in its mouth that's running. That's a plot point for the movie.
Oh yeah. That's
a weird one as well.
To kind of mesh the timeline together, most of this information comes later in the film, but we'll just say it up top because why not? It's important.
Yep.
The young kid is Edward Furlong.
Yep.
He was in the car with his mum. Car crashed. Yep. She died. He had a bad knee injury.
Yes. So he had to have some like knee surgery or whatever.
Yep.
It's left big scars on his knee and left him with a permanent limp.
It has.
Bit of a bummer.
And now he just lives with his dad, but his dad travels a lot for work, so we don't actually see his dad in the film.
Yep.
And that is the exposition out of the way.
Yep.
Which is good. Like, this film gets to the point
pretty
quickly.
It just has a couple of flashbacks at the start, he wakes up, he's like, oh, I'm having a nightmare about all that crap. Then he talks to his butler computer.
Okay.
Pretty close to what we have nowadays.
I mean,
it was like Alexa.
But also, it calls him Master. He calls it Igor.
Yeah.
It's just this talking computer that's like, yes, Master.
But you could do that with Alexa. And
I guess you could.
People, I feel like this is before its time. If you think about it.
Yeah.
Okay, Sunder, if you think about it. So he has this computer. He calls it Eagle.
Yeah.
You can call Alexa. You can make it so that you can call it something.
It's true.
And he's a kid who's decided to theme his voice activation stuff like a character from a movie.
Yeah.
From so it's not that technology all is like this. It's that he specifically themed his to be like this.
It's true.
To be fair, they were nowhere near that technology back then.
No.
And also, what? What? When is this time supposed? What?
I think it's set.
What year is this supposed to be?
They never say.
Yeah.
I guess it's probably like 99-ish.
Yes, but they don't have that technology.
That's why it's so like the sci-fi, so...
Yeah.
It's a set at some point in the future.
Is it set in the future? Because they don't stress that
at any point. Or maybe it is set in the present, because...
It's, like, pretty heavily set in the present. There's, like, nothing to indicate it's the future at all. He just has this super advanced computer.
Yeah.
For no reason.
Anyway, his friend Kyle calls him up. And he's like the most
90s radical teen. Dude, I'm a radical teen. I love horror movies. Hey, look, it's that horror movie kid trope.
Yep, the horror movie kid trope is back. Because in the 90s, if you liked horror, you were a bad kid. If you liked video games, you were a bad kid. This film's taking them both, combining it.
Bam, video games, that's right. Bad kids. Don't give your kids video games. They'll make their life more fun.
We're then attacked on screen by a giant lava lamp.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, it's cool.
So like many lava lamps in this movie. I love it. I love it.
It's a 90s movie. They've got to have their lava lamps.
Is the bed a waterbed? We don't know. It's the 90s.
Yeah, it could be. Could be. Anyway. So they're talking.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, there's this new game coming out. And he's like, this is the one point I would agree with most, where the kid's like, oh, yeah, but it's just the hyping of the marketing.
Yeah.
You shouldn't listen to that. You shouldn't get overhyped.
Yeah.
And stuff. And I'm like, he's got a point.
He does.
It's just the marketing.
Never get overhyped for
anything. The horror game could be not good at all.
No.
You shouldn't get sucked into the hype.
You definitely should. Especially for video games.
Yeah.
Never pre-order a video game.
Yeah, no, don't.
Is my...
We learned that lesson very recently with certain games like the Battlefront and all that.
Oh.
Yeah.
The game is called Brain Scan and it's... Yes. This scary interactive.
Yeah, it's supposed to be this super scary interactive game. And he's like, can't be that scary.
I don't think I ever realized what Edward Furlong's character's name is, so let's just call him Edward.
Yep.
He's
Eddie boy.
He's got a little crush on the girl next door.
Yep.
It's more of a obsession.
It's really weird. Oh, this is a thing that I noted down. Why is peeping a thing in the 90s? Peeping's like a big, like, trope that kids and stuff do.
Quite a bit of it.
There's, like, in lots of movies, there's, like, a lady at a window undressing or some crap, and they're peeping.
I remember in, like, the first few seasons of Smallville, that was a thing as well.
Yeah.
Like, just he's just thing. Got a telescope and looks trope. Into Lana Lang's bedroom.
Yeah, that's a trope for 90.
Yeah.
The 90s. That is just peeping.
Weird trope.
So he's got a camera set up and everything for this peeping.
He just films it. Peeping.
We know later on, spoilers, but she's also peeping on him and taking pictures. They have a weird peeping relationship that they don't even know about. It's real weird.
It's very strange.
It's very weird.
Don't do it.
I'm not okay with it.
Don't do it. And the film never portrays it in a bad light.
Yeah.
Spoilers, they get together at the end.
Yeah,
all's well and happy for these two peeping doms.
Anyway,
that's a mess. Anyway, so, and this is another thing that confused me because I don't remember this about the 90s.
Yep.
But he called up the Brain Scan game.
Yes.
Because in the 90s, you had to call up the game company to start the game. Because, like, during the film as well, when he wants to play the game, before he plays it, he tells Igor to call up Brain Scan.
Ah.
So that they're on the line while he's playing.
Is it because it's like an online game, maybe?
I don't know, maybe.
I have no idea. Maybe that's something that's just an outdated thing that I don't... Yeah, I was wondering about that too. I didn't know what that was.
Mm.
I was just going to ignore it because I had no idea what that was. But I guess that's it?
Maybe. Huh. It's like, like connecting to LAN or something. I don't know. Yeah,
real weird.
Anyway, he calls up Brain Scan and the telephone scans him.
Yes. So this is a weird bit. This is where the movie goes from, it's just this weird sort of... intro to supernatural weirdness.
Yeah, some voodoo and he, like, all that sort of stuff.
Like, physically shakes as it's like zaps him. And I'm like, what the hell just happened? Yeah. I wrote down, what the heck has just happened? What was that? They sort of explain it. Maybe it was like a hypnotizing him through the phone.
There's a lot of like hypnotizing in this film, so that could
But at the same time, it's definitely like a demonic sort of thing.
Yeah. Look, like we'll get to it at the very end, because there is a thing right at the end that makes me think that maybe it is like a supernatural element.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I don't know what the frick just happened.
The science of this film is all over the place and doesn't really make sense. Well, that's sort of gotta, you know.
That it doesn't make sense. That's because it's a horror and it's actually supernatural powers.
We'll see. Ooh. We will find out if it is. The person on the end of the line is like, yep, first installment's coming through.
Yep.
It'll come through soon. We just scanned you to find out what your deepest and darkest fears are so we can turn that into the game.
Yep.
And immediately I was like, oh, it's that Black Mirror episode.
Yeah, pretty much.
Where they do the exact same thing. At school, Edward runs a horror club.
Yep.
And none of the teachers like the horror club.
Of course not, because they're
Of course.
90s teachers. It's so they're like,
90s parents. Oh,
no.
They hate video games, they hate horror.
Yeah.
I love this whole conversation, because the teacher's like, what film was that?
I've got the quote right here for the name. It is named Death, Death, Death. Part 2. Which first, like, amazing.
At first I thought he made it up.
Yeah,
but no, that's the film's name.
Yeah, that's crazy. Wait, death, is that death, an death, actual part film? Two.
It's not an actual film, but that's what the writers decided to call the film.
Yeah, of course they did, of course.
Which death, is like, death, is death. This then a satirical film?
Part 2, yeah.
Is this then satire?
Yeah, or well, is I it think serious? That's what I'm saying.
I don't know.
I think it's a satire sort of horror movie.
Anyway, so then he goes back home. He's riding a motorcycle.
Yes.
It's the 90s.
Bad boy. He's riding a motorcycle.
If you didn't know, this film, set in the 90s, is this the most 90s film we've done so far?
Yeah, it's real 90s.
So 90s. He's riding, well, I guess it makes sense because it's 14s.
Yeah.
So, you know, they want to be as cool as possible.
Of course. He sees, like, a sort of crash or something.
Yeah.
And he spots some blood. Which he has, like, a big phobia of. He's like, ah!
Yeah, blood! Then he, like, immediately has flashbacks to the hospital, that sort of
thing. Yeah, important note, there's a detective at the scene who sees him and is like, shoo, kid, this detective, I've seen the actor before. He's also in Star Trek.
Oh,
Deep
really?
Space Nine, which I've been recently watching. And nice. He's in the first season, and I was like, oh my god, I know that actor from Deep Space Nine. That's actually amazing, because it's
Deep
around the
Space
same time.
Deep Space Nine would have been, like, airing at the same time.
Yeah, it was around
who
the same time.
Who is he playing Deep Space Nine? I can't remember.
It's not a main character. Okay. It's, like, one of the villains for a couple of the episodes.
Yeah, cool.
He's, like, a recurring villain till the end of the first season.
All right. So, that's fun.
Yeah, no.
He's a good villain.
He's a good actor. It was funny. I was like, hey,
yeah,
I know that actor.
How's that?
So, yeah, fun fact. Anyway.
The neighbor, the girl he likes, is having a house party.
Yeah.
Brain scan arrives, so he blocks all calls.
Because there's a party happening next door, and he's like closing the windows, puts on some music. He's like, stupid parties.
So what does the game do, Zach?
Brain scan happens. A face appears on his computer screen.
Yeah.
Or whatever, and like talks to him. It's like, this is brain scan. Mm-hmm. This is the thing. And, like, has an active conversation with this kid.
Yeah.
Which the kid doesn't really pick up on.
No.
This being weird. But, like, I picked up on this part where he, like, it, like, replies to him. And he doesn't pick up on that. And I thought that was a bit weird.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that is interesting. So, the way it works, the game hypnotizes him.
Yep.
Then he has an hour to...
I thought it was 2 hours. Was it 2 hours?
Maybe it is
hour?
2 hours.
I think it's 2 hours.
He's got, like, a certain amount of time.
Doesn't really matter.
It changes in each... like a level anyway.
Yeah.
He's got a certain amount of time where he's like looking through the eyes of a killer and he's gotta do a mission, whether it's like kill someone or something like that.
So
his first mission is to kill this guy within 2 hours.
Yep.
And then he's also gotta cover up all the evidence afterwards.
Yep.
So
he plugs it in.
Yep.
And it flashes to this sort of first person's perspective.
Yeah, like he's the killer. What weapon does he have?
He gets a knife from the kitchen.
A knife from the kitchen.
Big old knife. And it's just this first person perspective going around.
Mm.
He has this little voice in his head telling him to do things.
Yeah.
Goes upstairs. There's a guy sleeping. He goes to stab him and he's like, oh, don't know if I should stab him.
Mm.
Maybe this is a bad idea. Then the voice is like, nah, do it. And he's like, you know what? Fair enough. You said do it, so I gotta do it. And just murders this dude.
It's I can sort of see what the critics were saying based on this scene, because compared to the rest of the film, this scene is so out of place.
Yeah.
Because the rest of the film is sort of satirical and tongue in cheek, but this is like full on graphic.
Yeah. Anyway.
Scene. Anyway.
Guy like thrashes around and eventually dies.
Yeah.
Then he has to get like a trophy or something from the murder.
Oh, that's right.
And he chops off the guy's foot.
Of course.
Because the foot has a tattoo on it or something. I don't know. For some reason. So he chops off this guy's foot. Then he wakes up and he's back in his chair.
Yep.
And he's like shaking. He's like, oh, man, that felt so real. Wow.
He looks at he looks at the screen. It said he had 9 minutes left. And he's like, that's it. I kicked ass with time to spare.
that's a quote.
It's a quote from the film. And then he's like, that was really good. I want to try it again. So he tries to play it again, but it just doesn't work. He's got to wait for the second disc to come.
Yeah.
He turns on the news the next day.
On the news, he hears about a murder.
Hmm.
And he's like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
Weird hearing about this murder. It's noted that the foot is missing. And they can't find it. And he's like, uh-oh. Maybe it was real. And he runs over to his freezer. He looks inside. And right in the freezer is the foot.
Da, da, da.
Oh my god, he did the murder.
He did it.
It was real.
So he takes the foot and he burns it in the fireplace.
No.
He does something even smarter.
Instead, he gets his like clothes and stuff or something they used for the murder and burns that in the fireplace.
Yeah.
Then gets a shovel, gets the foot, and goes to bury this foot.
Yep. Well, he tries to, but alas, it does not work. For a dog smells the foot and picks it up.
Runs off with it. It's this real dumb scene where he's like, while he's digging, this dog comes over to his bag, grabs the foot.
Yeah.
He like turns to the dog and says, no, come back. Please, I'll just ask you this one thing. Just leave the foot. And for some reason, the dog leaves the foot.
Mm.
For some reason, the dog gets the foot back. I think he goes, digs it up or something.
Yeah, there's some scene where the dog digs up the foot.
Yeah, it's this weird arcing scene with this dog. Which doesn't make much sense, which comes back.
It comes back at the end.
Which is real weird. And I don't know what it's all about. I liked it, but I didn't know what it was happening.
Mm.
Then he comes back.
He comes back home. He's just like, he's just standing around. He's like, I can't believe it. I'm never playing Brain Scan again. He takes the disc and he destroys it. And then his TV just turns on all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Brain Scan boots up. And out of the TV comes the villain, the trickster.
Like, pops out of the TV and I'm like, now I get it.
Yeah.
This is a whole demonic sort of horror thing.
Well, you say demonic. This guy is not, he's not scary in the slightest. He's not threatening.
He's bizarre.
He sort of looks like, he's going to be in the cover photo for this episode, so you can check that out.
He looks like a David Bowie sort of character.
He looks like a David Bowie character with like a mix of like Star Trek.
Yeah, almost.
Aliens as well.
Yeah, but he's just got like an ugly face sort of thing
that
they've gone for. Along with a David Bowie sort of outfit.
He sort of acts like Beetlejuice as well.
Yeah. He's just real, just bizarre. The classic sort of weird demon villain.
Yeah.
He talks to him for a bit, telling him that there was a witness, so he's got to play the second disc to get rid of the witness.
And he's like, I don't have to take orders from you. I can just kill you right here, right now. And he's like, no, I can't feel pain. And he electrocutes himself.
Yeah.
He snaps his fingers. He pulls out one of his eyes and is like, you can't hurt me. But country music might actually kill
him. Yeah.
Every man has his limits.
Because ha ha ha, country music.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about him as a villain. He's not threatening.
Yeah, no. It's
but he is
weird.
Kind of funny. He
yeah,
offers
it's
some
kind of amusing.
Like he offers some comedy relief in a pretty dull film.
I feel
film.
Like he was. It was alright. Yeah. I feel like he wasn't great, but I feel like he wasn't bad. Yeah. So there you go.
So he plays the second disc in which he has to kill the witness.
Yes. So plays the disc, and it just skips over like the whole scene of them killing the witness, which makes
yeah.
sense because it's a sort of reveal.
It hypnotizes him, and then
he wakes up.
Yep.
Then he goes to check the freezer or the fridge or whatever to mm-hmm. check what he got, and it's this necklace, and he's like,
oh no,
because
the necklace looks familiar.
Yes, because it's the necklace of his best friend. And he's like, no, buddy, he wasn't actually a witness. Anyway, the devil guy, the evil demon guy.
Tricks the dude.
Is evil.
Yeah.
Comes out and he's like, oh, but you had to kill him.
He comes
because
out.
Because he
yeah.
knew you.
That's right.
And he would have eventually figured it out. Mm.
So Trickster's whole thing is like, look, everyone deep down is a killer. You're just acting on your killer instincts.
Yep.
And this is my big question with the film. So he's been hypnotized to do these things.
Yeah.
But he's not actually being hypnotized. It's yeah. just drawing out the killer part of him.
I think it's well, that's the thing with he has been hypnotized,
yeah.
but the whole thing with hypnotized is you won't do anything you wouldn't do.
Exactly.
When you're unhypnotized. So that's the sort of
but
plot
it's also
point.
Like in some of the levels, like the first one, the third one, and the fourth one, he remembers doing all those things.
Yeah.
Especially in the one that we've got coming up, which we will talk about in a second. He
yeah.
is in complete control of everything that's happening.
Yeah.
Except he's still hypnotized.
Yeah.
Even though he's fully lucid.
Well,
so,
that's the thing with hypnotized. It's just like a suggestion sort of thing.
It is,
so
yeah.
It makes sense, sort of, but yeah. It's anyway.
But he also doesn't want to do it.
Yeah. It's
as we
weird,
can see in the next few levels, he doesn't want to do it.
Well,
I don't know. Again, the science of this film is not there.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That's fine.
Well, and I'm okay with that because it's demon magic.
Sure,
reason is
sure,
demon magic.
Sure.
Anyway,
yeah.
Then the detective comes over because he's getting rather suspicious of this kid because he's not going to school at the moment. You know, he's a bit of a weird kid.
Yeah.
You know, it's all sending warning signs. So he just sort of talks to him. He notices that his fire's recently been lit, but it's in summer, so he's like, oh, that's suspicious.
That's there. Yeah, he takes a sample of the fireplace when he's not looking as well. He just, like, gets a little bit of the ashes. Like,
yeah,
so,
yeah,
I'm
yeah,
going to
yeah.
check this out the lab. I'm going
anyway,
to see what's going on.
So,
meanwhile, the trickster is upstairs watching TV and eating food.
Gross food, like he puts mustard on bananas and
yeah.
stuff like that. Anyway.
There is a pretty cool scene, though, where they're having an argument, like, directly after the policeman leaves. The trickster and Furlong are having an argument.
Mm-hmm.
And the trickster cuts
oh,
Edward's
right,
hand.
Yeah, Edward's hand.
And, like, holds it over a counter, lets it bleed.
Yep.
And then the drops of blood turn into the third disc.
Oh, yeah. That
it's
was,
a pretty
that
cool
was
thing.
Really cool. I like
yeah.
that. But then he pulls his hand away and then looks at his hand and
it's fine.
Never been cut.
Ooh, voodoo.
Yeah.
And then he plays
the
third
disc.
No killing in the third disc. The third
yeah,
disc
he says,
is all about getting evidence away from the police.
Yes. So he like says, all right, I'm not going to kill in this. And the devil guy promises he won't be no killing.
No killing.
So he goes over to the house where he murdered and he
yep.
has to get rid of his footprints.
Yep.
Because he's got a limp, so it would give him away.
Yeah.
So he scrabbles up his footprints.
I've written down here that the next door neighbor girl sees Edward walking back from the woods.
Yes, so spots
and
him
she
and
gets
is
like suspicious.
Yeah, she's like, "Hey, what are you doing?" And he like ignores her and runs off.
Mm.
So she sees him out and about at this
yeah.
time.
And
just like a bum bum.
And that leads into disc four. The trickster comes over and is like, "You did a good job, but there's a witness."
You
and you know
witness.
Who the witness is.
It's the girl.
Can't remember her name. But
generic female protagonist.
Exactly. Generic love interest for main
yep.
male character.
Kimberly, that was her name.
Edward talks to the trickster and is like, "No, I'm not doing it. This isn't a game anymore. This is crime. This is just lots of crime."
Fair point. Not wrong, is he?
Not wrong. This really is
just
lots of
lots
crime.
Of crime. Yeah, and the devil man, you know, he goes
yeah.
on a tangent about, you know, nothing's real. It's all a game. If you don't get caught, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
That sort of thing.
The report comes back from the lab, and it finds that there was blood of the guy
on the clothes
that he burned in the furnace, and they're like, "Well, looks like he did it. We'll go over and arrest him."
Yeah.
He puts in the fourth disc.
Yep. After protesting all that time, then it just cuts to him just putting the disc in.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh well.
I guess just get it over and done with.
I mean, yeah.
Is it just me, or did his computer say goodbye, master, when he put in the disc?
Yes, he did. Which is, like, very weird. I mean, obviously just a horror movie thing that they put in. Anyway. Kind of funny.
He goes over to, what was her name again, Kimberly?
Yeah.
He goes over to Kimberly's house, grabs a sharp knife. Meanwhile, the police guys are sneaking outside, and they know that he's going over to the neighbor's house. They're gonna like try and get him.
Yeah, so she he's sort of in her room as she's sleeping.
Mm.
She has a knife, but then
the trickster's there as well.
Yeah, then they have like a fight because he decides he doesn't want to kill her. Then the devil man is like kind of gross and disgusting, where he tries to stab the devil man.
Yeah,
but it doesn't work, and then his like stomach like grabs the hand,
yeah,
and it sort of morphs into him.
And then he eats him.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a weird ass scene.
So I guess it's him possessing him.
Yeah.
He then gets like possessed by Trickster.
Possessing. Kind of cool.
Yeah.
Then she wakes up. She sees this kind of crazy stuff and she screams. She's like, ah. But then they collapse and then he pops up and it's just him.
Yeah.
Except you can see like half of his face is sort of like crusted and like,
yeah,
clearly he's still possessed by this demon.
She then confesses that she does have feelings for him and has taken many a picture of him in his room,
which is really creepy. Like,
he does it as well though, so you know,
that doesn't make it good.
It doesn't make it good.
Sandro, she's like super creepy about this vibe. She's like, oh yeah, I know you've been taking pictures of me, I've been taking pictures of you.
It's real weird.
It's real creepy.
It's a bit of a creep fest.
And then he decides not to murder.
Yeah.
But then the devil's like, well, guess it's game over.
Mm.
But there's one last thing. And he opens the door and the detective walks in.
Yeah.
Bum, bum, bum. And the detective's like, I can't remember what the detective said.
It's just like, ugh, gross. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, you like, evil. You killed them all. I don't know.
You
something like
killer
that.
Or something. And then he shoots him.
Yeah, he shoots Furlong.
And then, bam, he wakes back up. And it's the first day after putting the first disc in.
The house party's still happening outside.
Yeah. It's like none of it's happened.
It was all a dream. Well, part of the game, but a dream.
Yay. And then Carl comes over and he's like, oh my gosh, Carl, you're alive.
That's nice. I like the Carls.
Yeah, yeah, same. I was happy.
Yeah.
Is the movie ended yet?
Movie's still going.
It doesn't go on for very much longer, but I was like, that would have been a good place to just end the movie.
No. But no, we need closure on Kimberly.
Yeah.
He goes over to the house party and he asks Kimberly out and she's like, maybe.
After that, she kisses him before leaving.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, that's a definite maybe.
Definite maybe, and they belong together.
Yeah, he goes and checks her room, and she does have pictures of him, like, in his dream. And I was like, wow, yep, she was a creep. This is not okay.
He made that up in his mind in the game, but turned out that it was real. He then goes to school.
Yep.
And
the teacher's alive.
The teacher's still alive.
So he has a horror disc.
He has the game itself, brain scan. That he wants to show the class, but he doesn't really.
Yeah, so he gives to the teacher, and he's like, oh, brain scan, huh? This should be interesting.
And then this is the part that, from here on out, I was very confused.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you see the trickster in the background of that scene, being like, yeah, I've got a new victim now.
See, told you.
So,
demonic being, here's how it is. There's two scenarios in this situation.
Yeah.
One, easy, it's just demonic. It's an evil demonic being.
It's an evil game. People. And the trickster's in the game and he makes you... Yeah,
yeah, it's just evil demonic powers. You can just explain everything with that.
Yeah.
Or it's... Apparently it's hypnotizing people and causing seizures and stuff.
Mm.
So it's like all this hypnotizing stuff that's causing brain problems.
Yeah.
And now this this kid now has some brain issues
right
caused by this game. Yeah. Which is making him seeing this figure behind his teacher.
The credits roll, but then we hear the trickster's voice being, wait, there's one more thing to do. And then
it was fake credits. And I was like, hey, fake credits. I like that.
It was
that
fake
was
credits,
cool.
But they did the classic 90s thing where then the screen starts to crack and then just like falls apart. And
yeah, it was great. I loved it. I was like, oh, I was not expecting a fake out credits.
Yeah.
And
what happens in this fake credits?
And then it's just the dog. Who has the foot of the guy?
Yeah.
Was he murdered? Was he not?
So,
did the first disc happen?
Did it all happen?
No, it didn't all happen because Kyle and stuff wasn't murdered. But maybe it was just the first disc that happened? Was that the point of that last reveal?
I think the point was to, like, for there to be a sequel where it turns out the trickster is real and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But of course, this film made no money, so that never happened.
Yeah. But it
that
was
could
a real
be
weird
it.
Ending. But, yeah. Like, I appreciated it. Didn't know what it meant.
Sure. And that's the film.
That's the film, yeah.
Another fairly short one. Billionaire and a half. What did you think?
I'm giving it an oldie. I don't know about you. I'm giving it an oldie.
I'm going to go oldie, yeah.
Yeah, no way you need to see this movie. I'm not saying it's a... Again, oldie. Not a bad movie. You don't need to see it.
That's the episode, I guess. We'll just end it there. There's not really much else to say about it.
Yeah, cool.
We pretty much got out all our notes during the
synopsis.
If
you liked the episode, or... didn't like the episode, tell us about it.
Yes.
And like it anyway. Give it five stars or one star.
Or one star.
And tell us what's wrong with it so that we can ignore it and pretend you don't exist.
Exactly, we will do.
And then secretly try and fix it. Because we are subconscious about it.
Yes.
But yeah. Subscribe to the YouTube.
Subscribe to YouTube. Spotify.
Kind of not working, but you'll fix that.
We'll fix it
out. We'll see how it goes.
Spotify is the main one. iTunes, the main one. We've also got our Omni website. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can. Email address is in our description. Copy and paste it into your email thing, and it'll all be very good. And we'll get the email and then reply to you. You can also message us on Facebook. Our Facebook page is Sunjo and Zach's Oldie But a Goodie. Zach, you're picking next week's episode.
Yeah, so what
you've got so many choices.
Okay.
Let's go through it. Choice number one, With Honours.
With Honours, eh?
It's about Brendan Fraser.
Yep.
He's at uni.
Yep.
He befriends a homeless man played by Jimmy Hollywood himself, Joe Pesci.
Oh, that guy.
And it's sort of like a sweet comedy about friendship.
Okay.
You like Brendan Fraser?
Yeah, I do. I do like Brendan Fraser.
He's in roughly four films.
So what's this one called?
It's called With Honours. Huh. It's about like uni life and stuff.
Not bad.
I think Brendan Fraser's in roughly 4 to 5 films this year.
All of which
we might be doing. Who knows? We'll see.
Yep.
Your next choice. The Favour. It's a erotic rom-com with Brad Pitt.
Pass.
No Escape. Another sci-fi. This is a military, low-budget sci-fi.
Ooh,
set in a dystopian future. There's a prison.
Ooh.
And then there's two factions in the prison.
I like this
and
one.
And they're fighting.
Eh, less so now.
That's that whole film. Then there is PCU. It's another college comedy.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a kid who finds himself in the middle of a war between two college groups.
Mm-hmm.
The tagline of the film is, flunk them if they can't take a joke.
Wow. Is that like a PC, like a political correct?
Yeah, so I think it's about the most political correct college in America.
Oh, right.
And a bunch of frat boys being like, we want to be non-PC.
Yeah, great.
The 90s.
Woo.
And your last choice is, When a Man Loves a Woman. It's about alcoholism, addiction, rehab, and romance. 71% in Rotten Tomatoes. But, knowing you, we're not going to do it.
Romance. Romance. I just don't like romances.
It's fair.
It's boring.
There's a lot of romances in the 90s. There's not many now.
Oh, well. It's kind of a shame, actually.
Yeah.
But anyway. No, there is. Twilight, one of the most
That was last decade, though. That wrapped up in like 2012.
50 Shades of Grey. That's another great, high-quality romance coming out.
Oh, dear.
You can see why I love romance movies.
Yes. So they were your choices. With Honours, The Favour, No Escape, PCU, When a Man Loves a Woman.
It's kind of... maybe the first one?
Brendan Fraser?
Yeah.
He's a great actor.
I'm down for it. More of, what's the actor called?
Yeah, Joe Pesci.
Okay, we could try that one, I guess. Okay. Yeah.
So next episode with Honors.
Cool.
Sounds like a fun time.
Yeah.
And that will be next Friday, because we're back on the weekly schedule now.
Cool.
We end the episode with our favorite quote from Brain Scan.
Mine is the quote, death, part two. The pause is crucial because they do that during the movie. They go, death. What's the name of the movie? Death. Part two.
It's so good.
Which is great.
I want to see if it's a real film. I doubt it.
Yeah.
Bonus episode probably, if it is.
Probably with the most generic name, dear. Death. Yeah.
My favorite would be, it just isn't a game anymore. It's a crime. It's just lots of crime.
That's such a good quote. Actually, I love that one better. It's just a lot of crime. It's not wrong.
It's not wrong.
A lot of murder.
Good on him. Edward Furlong. What a guy.
What a fella.
All right, see ya.
See ya.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.